Good evening, everyone. It's great to see everybody here today. Just wanted to say I'm grateful for another opportunity to preach God's word and continue to grow in my faith as well. This evening, I've entitled the lesson, Don't Be a Common Fool. And it's taken out of the scripture that Brother Joe read here a few moments ago in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 through 14. If we could turn there right now, and we'll get to it in just a moment, but if we can have that readily available, if you don't already, Ecclesiastes 5, verses 10 through 14. And before we read that here, I know I've mentioned it plenty of times, and if you don't already know, but I work for a bank, and I've worked there for almost 3 years now. And there's one really common question that I always get asked. People ask me, aren't you intimidated by working with all this money? Or they'll make the statement, you know, I could never get used to seeing all of this money in front of me. And every single time I tell them the same thing, yes, you do. You get used to it. I tell them, this money does not belong to me. It's not mine. So it's not really anything crazy to see. Another thing is that I've gotten so used to over the years seeing it come in and go all day long, all week, all month, and all year. So you give out most of it, you take in a little bit, you get really used to it. And with that, one thing that I've really come to learn about it is that money is very common. A fact about the U.S. Bureau of Engraving and Printing, they print out about 38 million notes every day. That's roughly equivalent to about $541 million every single day. Granted, most of it is to kind of replace bills that are old, that are damaged, that aren't going to be able to be recirculated, but still, that makes you think. That much money being printed out every single day, that doesn't make it pretty rare, does it? But no matter how many bills they print, at the end of the day, a bill that is printed with the number 100 on it is worth that much. Same as a bill that has a number 1 on it has that same value that is on it. Nothing more and nothing less. It only is worth what the bill says. The U.S. has given authority for said bill to be honored for that amount. You know, I could have a brand new $100 bill, and you could have maybe one that's been circulated for a bit, could be folded, it could be a little worn, but they both spend the same. One is not worth more than the other. I'll get customers and other people coming in and asking me if I have rare bills or if I have silver coins all the time. You know, things that are worth more than their face value. Most of the time, I tell them that I don't, because that's the truth, I don't. Or I'll joke around with them and I'll say, if I did, I wouldn't be telling you. But a lot of people treat this very common money as if it is something extremely rare. They treat it as if it is to constantly be sought after, desired, loved, or in some ways, worshipped. And what's surprising when you think about it is money is really dirty. It can be extremely dirty. These notes can carry thousands upon thousands of germs. They can have bacteria that can cause acne, other allergic reactions. It's even been said that money can also carry E. coli. It kind of makes you think, well, why are people wanting to seek this stuff out to the extent that they are, to when it becomes loved or worshipped in a way? Money is dirty physically, yes, but it can also become filthy when thinking about it becoming more as an idol rather than just currency that we use to get goods and services that we need in this life. It can be corrupt, and it can corrupt. When there are those that don't just love the money physically, but are filled with great greed and the constant need for more and more wealth, that is when it becomes dangerous. It can push someone to their limits just to obtain more of it, and some people even do evil acts to get this money. Now, let's read Ecclesiastes 5, 10 through 14 once more. Verses 10 through 14 say, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth the son, and there is nothing in his hand." Someone who desires excess wealth will never be satisfied. It's like having a bottomless pit instead of a stomach. I guess we can use that example. But our stomach tells us when it is satisfied with the meal that we've provided. It lets us know, hey, we're full. You don't have to eat anymore. We've got enough to break it down, and then you're going to have some more energy. We're good. Someone who has that bottomless pit instead of that stomach never knows satisfaction. Only the desire for more. Always longing for something that will never fill that void that is inside. In the last part of verse 14, if you can take a look, it says, it talks about how a baby is born with nothing in his hand. You know, when we're born, do we have anything with us? Do we have a pocket where we have a little something like a wallet, some money, or a credit card or anything? We're born with nothing. We have absolutely nothing when we're born. We're naked. And as the verse says, when it's our time to go, we're going to leave the exact same way. We won't take anything with us. We won't have anything stored. We're going to leave naked, just the same way. It kind of reminds me of this joke that I heard a long time ago about a man who is near his death. And he asks his wife, you know, I've saved so much money over the course of my life and I haven't got to spend it. But since I know I'm passing soon, I want you to make me a promise. I want you to bury me with all of my money. So the wife agrees. She says, okay, I promise. Eventually the man passes, and when it comes time to his funeral, they're lowering him into his grave in his casket, and people are saying their last goodbyes, and it comes to the wife. And she'd seen tossing a piece of paper in the grave. And so somebody notices and they ask, why'd you do that? And she says, well, he wanted to be buried with all his money, so I wrote him a check. But when we leave this place, there is no physical thing that is coming along with us. Our body remains, it decays, but our soul and our spirit do not. There's a parable told by Jesus about the rich fool. And I won't read it in its entirety, but I recommend that later on today, take a look. We're going to turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we'll be reading verses 19 through 21. And it reads, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I'm not saying that it's a bad thing if you earn money. It's not a bad thing if you honestly work and make a good living. But you need to remember what we're working for. We're working for our family. We're working to keep ourselves surviving. But most importantly, we're working for God. As the verse says at the end, rich toward God. That is the kind of rich that we must strive to be. Not rich with wealth or excess, but rich toward God. Instead of the constant chase for that wealth, instead of the constant chase for greed. You know, this Bible that I have, it was given to me from my wife while we were just dating as a gift. And she paid with it with money. She paid for it with money. But what this Bible has, what the message it provides, it's worth more than any amount of money that you can imagine. Here in this Bible, it shows me the way. Here, it shows me the word spoken by Jesus himself, our Savior. It shows me on the way that I need to live. It shows me how I must correct my mistakes. It shows me what I need to do, how I need to change in order to be put on that path of righteousness. It tells me of the good news. The good news that death has been conquered by one. And through that sacrifice that he made, I no longer have to be scared of dying. Because through him, I have access to eternal life with God. To me, that sounds more rare than any bill that's printed with linen and cotton that has money or that has a number printed on it, worth more than any amount that I could ever imagine or see. I know some may think to themselves, well, if he's talking about money being printed every single day, what difference is it when it comes to the Bible? When looking at the statistics, you can easily look up that there have been about 5 to 7 billion copies of the Bible printed. Each year, that there has to be at least 100 million to meet the demand of what people are wanting and buying. So one may ask themselves, if there are so many Bibles, how could it be so rare? Well, let's look at this verse in Ephesians. If we could all turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6 read, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Even with all these copies of the Bible that have been printed, there is only one true way to get to God. And that is through his son, Jesus Christ. And if that isn't rare, then I don't know what else is or what other thing can be synonymous with rarity. What I am sure is that everyone is familiar with the verse. We've heard it so many times. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. You don't have to turn there, but where it says, the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, when talking about that desire for wealth and excess, it can mess with our morals. It can mess with our minds, and most importantly, it can destroy our connection with God. If we turn to Matthew chapter 6 and read verse 24, Matthew 6, 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 reads, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. If we say that we love God, then that means we don't put anything else above him. We don't put anything else before him, especially something as common as money. We can't say that we love him, yet in our hearts truly desire physical wealth and excess. What we need to strive is our spiritual well-being. What we need to desire is being closer to God. I myself don't desire or don't want to live in a mansion here while I'm on earth. I don't want to have a huge house with so many rooms. The one that I desire can't be touched by man. It can't be ruined by man. I want the one that is forever lasting with God in heaven. We must desire to be rich toward God, get closer to him, talk to him, learn to always remember that we need him in any circumstance, whether everything is good or when we are struggling. Learn to appreciate and embrace the struggle that we have. We must learn how to give rather than to constantly receive. How can we give ourselves to God, and how can we be better for him? That's questions we need to ask ourselves on a daily basis. If we want to be whole, if we want that void to be filled in our life, what we must seek is God. Instead of that bottomless pit that we were talking about a few moments ago, that has no end in sight, we are to be satisfied with God. He provides all that we need. And notice how I said all that we need. That's the key word. If it's up to us to decide, we more than likely will go with what we want. And that circles back to never being content. We like to choose what we want because in that moment, it's the easier decision. It makes us feel good in that moment. But God knows what we need. And that is the difference. And that is why we must trust him to be content. Lastly, let's look at this verse. It's still in the same book, in the same chapter. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. 19 through 21 reads, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Rather than constantly thinking about earthly gain, we need to focus on eternity. Because once we are gone, we eventually will spend eternity somewhere. But our actions determine where that somewhere will be. If we heed that good news that is given to us here in this Bible, if we follow that plan of salvation that is set before us, if we are to hear God's word, we believe in it, we repent, we change, we confess Jesus before man, and we are baptized, that gets us on the right path. That is the way that we must go. We have to serve our one and only. Jesus Christ shed his blood. He died, and he was buried, and he rose again. And it's because of that blood that he shed that we can have our sins washed away and rise to a newness of life. And the sooner that we realize that, the better. We must ask ourselves the question. We must make that decision. Am I one of the common, or am I one of the called? That invitation is set before you tonight. If you have not obeyed that gospel calling, I urge you, please, don't wait any longer. Or if you have already obeyed, but you've been struggling, if you need prayers, if you need help, that invitation is for you as well. So won't you please come forward as we stand and as we sing.